Mr. Mervyn, a real one. When and where were you born?
I was born in Chicago, Bear Park, probably 2.5 miles by day. The 14th of June, 1931. So it was just passing out in the 30s, I remember. Born to where my father's name was George, my mother's name Helen. Their maiden name was Shield. I can't go much back into her history because parents died at birth, I think, or so they've got a father and come from Sherwood or something like that.
Did you have any brothers and sisters?
No, just the only one. And just, I lived at Bear Park, and my mother was a Catholic, my father chose to be myself, for the Catholic. He's the daughter of St. George. Well, I went to St. Joseph's School at the Shimmer for about a week, and I didn't like it. And I ended up at the Bear Park Council School, and I went there until I was 10, I think it was. And then I went to what was Corby Hall in Sunderland, St. Aidan's now, I think.
Did you do an 11 plus exam?
No, I was one of them then. It just took us out, and I was taught by the Jesuits then. I suppose my mother was getting on way. I went to the Church of England school. And then the witness away to this one at Sunderland. It was during the war, like, it was still during the war. Because I can remember that when the bombing was on, school didn't start at about 12 o'clock. That was on account of the lads and that who lived in Sweden didn't get sleep on account of the bombing. So school was put back to start until 12. And we finished somewhere 5 or 6 o'clock at night.
I'll come back to your school life in a minute. Did your father work?
Yes, he worked on the mine at Bear Park College. And then he didn't like it very much. He may have got killed. There was a fall of stone or something. Something like he was supposed to be 6'2", and he swapped his mate. And his mate, he would have been, you know, one of them things that aren't getting out. And he got a job with the brickworks at the colliery. So he worked for the, still worked for the, well, it wasn't the Cold War then, it was, I don't know who was there back then, but it was nationalised and then they worked for the Cold War.
So he wouldn't have been in the army during the war?
No, he didn't. The airline worker, you know, colleague worker.
Did your mother work?
No. No, mother was brought in a convent. And, her mother died at birth or something, and her father, when she was growing up, whipped her away to a convent and buried, you know, those days they weren't no. And then when she came from there, she lived with an uncle, and then she got married and that was it. But in those days, your mothers didn't work. It was just your father did the work, and in a common village. Well, that's where everyone worked, unless you got a job on the council. That was the beautiful place.
Was the pit next to the village?
It was actually in the village. But in those days it was, I won't say the centre of the village, you know, but the village was more or less strong. But in latter years, when the council started building houses, and the villages grew away from the mine. Because if you have a look at the maps I mean now, and you can see where the old Derrant Concert railway line goes up, have you seen it? Well, it goes away, comes over out of Durham, up the cut, and then it sort of bears right and goes over, comes through Bear Park, then Langley Park, then Lanchester, and we have the concert. Well, there was a station at Bear Park because the colliery was there, and there was a coke works, and the houses were sort of built, well, but with the advent of the council building away, well, people didn't walk down the hill, because it was on the hill down to the station when the buses started, and that was the demise of the railways, because the bus going around the door was better than walking a half a mile to the train.
So the pit would be quite an important part of village life,
well,
at that time.
Yeah. used to be money kept off the wages. So much was penny away or something to the doctor. So the medical was saying to him. There was so much kept off for what we used to call a recreation ground. They were the football grounds. I mean, their park had a football field. Two green ball, what's that? Field, what was it called? A cricket field. And they had, had the swings and the tin hat, the pots to go around and the kids. All was that maintained by the colleagues, with money from the. A penny or something kept off in men's wages because everybody worked at college.
What was life like? Was it comfortable at home?
Well, I suppose it was. We know television though. Didn't even have a wireless. You made your own entertainment. In those days you could get out with the lads. I'm not saying you were free to wander around the fields and around the woods, but if you shut the gates and didn't tread the cornfields down the farm and everybody,
Can you remember the sorts of things you did as a child?
Right.
For your leisure pursuits, sports, games?
The Colby Wars, one of the Colby Wars, and the down comes for the rain for the spouts. Well, I sometimes used to get paper and stuff it up the spout, light it, and it used to go like a buzzing, it used to get the draft. They weren't wooden ones or plastic ones, no danger of setting fire to that. And they just roll like that. And then the doors were. Like, obviously, like that was yesterday, like that. And you would tie them with a bit of string, tie the door handles together, and knock on one door, and it wouldn't be able to open the door. play cowboys and Indians, autumn time, really, a few watches, get a few apples and pears. Swing tie. Go down with the birds' nests. Door was taught never to take all the eggs. Egg collecting was sort of, it wasn't illegal in them days, lads used to collect eggs, but we always sort of, if there's only two, we wouldn't take them. You never sort of took anything. The only eggs we used to a lot of, I suppose, was on the brownie, which was the bottom of the village. You used to get the water hens, and they just hold the hens, don't they? Get their eggs.
What about cinema and that sort of thing?
Well, there was no cinema in Bear Park. The cinemas was at Rushamoa and Durham. But as a lad, never went by myself, never went to the cinema, only while I was reading. The early teens and the apprentice, then they went down to the cinema. The only other time they brought some of the parents took in. Got the seaside about once a year.
Is that an annual holiday?
One day. And it was, my grandmother was in the Rechabites. They're still called, I think, Rechabites.
What were they?
It was something like Rovers, wouldn't it, I think? I don't know the terms of it, but anyway. They used to organise a train. And the train used to start up in concert somewhere. And all the record bikes would just pick up all the way down. And they used to go to South Shields. And they had a day at South Shields with the record bikes on the train. And in latter years, when British Railway, when the trains were starting to run down, had got that the passenger train would only run one day a year, and that was on minus the other day. And it used to start up a concert, and all the mines, all the way down, everybody used to pile in the train with the banners and come into Durham. And I mean, before it was a regular train service, but as the village, the same with Langley Park, it grew away from the village, from the railway. Lanchester did.
And they would all have their own pits, I would guess, at that time.
Going up the valley, you have Bear Park, which had a mine and a coke works. Langley Park had a mine and a coke works. Their coke works were known as the Otto's, because it was German engineering or somebody who built it, you know, known as the Otto's. And then I can't remember, but I'm told there was a mine and that at Malton. That's halfway between Langley Park and Lanchester. I don't know about Lanchester, but there was two or three mines at the concert, just like up the valley. I used to wonder how they knew where to get the coal from on the ground, whether they were pinching somebody else's coal, because the mines sometimes belonged to different mine owners. It wasn't all coal board then, it was, they used to call it about royalties, the royalties for Bear Park, and then the royalties for Langley Park, by hell, you know, where your boundary ends.
So was that, you talked about going to the seaside, was that the sum total of your early experiences of annual holidays?
As a youngster, and then during the war, my mother had some relations, or very distant relations, who lived in Bridlington. And that was one of the few places during the war where the beach wasn't mine. And we used to go for a week, go to Bridlington, stay with these relations, and you could get on the beach and, you know, go along. And in the harbour, I always remember in the harbour there was at least two RAF air sea rescue launches, because Bridlington obviously is on the coast, and it's on, I would say, it's on the flat part of Yorkshire, and there were a lot of airfields down there during the war. Bomber bases and that, and could see the bombs coming back, some of the smoke coming out the engines and that, you know, and of course they were dropping into the sea, and these launches were going out and bringing them back.
Because you'd be nine when the war started.
I remember the day the war started, I was walking down my father down towards the Browning, and somebody shouted out, "The war started, George," in front of my father, George. Well, what's that mean? And, you know, tell you things, you know, and that was it.
Did it have much impact on you as a child?
Well, you had an interest in it. Didn't have much to do in the sense of we were lucky we didn't have any bombing. We had the rationing, and we didn't have any sweets, and didn't have any. Everything was rationed. There was no street lights, there was no road signs. Cars, car headlights, you had to have something over them, and there was just a thin slit of light that you could see. And everything was pitch dark. Yeah. But apart from the rationing, clothing, getting clothes, food. Well, you didn't starve. But
what was the food like then? What kind of things were you rationed to?
Obviously, it was healthier than what it is now, because nobody had all the heart attacks and everything that we're getting now. It was basic foods. It was a little bit of butter, a little bit of margarine. You were allowed so much meat, so much bacon. Bread wasn't rationed. Flour. I don't know if flour was rationed or not, but the bread that used to buy had other stuff put in to make it up. I remember my grandmother used to save some of the flour, and she used to sieve it to get the sort of stuff out and be left with the pure flour. Then she'd maybe make a white loaf, as she called it, and everybody went out and white bread. you know, the other bread. Well, it was edible, you know.
But sweets and things would be a big miss as a child.
Oh, I never saw a banana.
Chocolate?
No. Fruit, you only got the fruit which was grown in this country, and then you'd get the apples and the pears in the autumn. You'd be lucky if they lasted for Christmas, then you never saw any more until the next, you know, you just thought the country could grow. Potatoes, turnips, well, there was always plenty in the fields around the village, shall I put it that way? Because in those days, a farmer only grew what he could sell. The farmer would grow potatoes, turnips, he would put some just hay for these cattle and that, you know. He would grow, what used to call it, cow cake, I don't know what they. And he used to, I mean, when you're at school, you were taught this, that they rotate the fields. You grow potatoes one year, maybe the next year corn, and the next year something else. And I mean, it'll not be the first time I've gone out with a piece of turnip out the field. My father used to say, if you want a pinch one, take one out the middle. And the farmer won't know if you take them all from the edge. And dig a few potatoes, you know. Farmers who had pigs and that, they were supposed to get a license to kill them. You just couldn't kill animals. You know, you had to get a permit, they had to go to an abattoir somewhere, or for the Ministry of Food.
Was this for a farmer for his own animals?
Oh, right, but they would always knock a one off, like. And you could, you know, if you were a famous farmer, you'd get maybe get a bit of pork or something off them, you know.
So it was a kind of black market?
Well, it wasn't. It wasn't a thriving black market. It was just, you know, or some reason to put a pig, you know, a pig off or something like that, you know. My father was in the special, with him being at the colony, not being in the armed forces, everybody had to do something.
You're the home guard that time,
yeah. My father was in the special constables.
What did that entail him having to do?
Well, he used to have to go out at night at Christmas time and stop anybody pinching blood, chickens or turkeys or go around the farms or like that.
Was he in uniform?
All I can remember, he just had the black and white band, was it, around the sleeve? I can't remember him being in uniform. But there was only one village placed in there. But he would know. I mean, in Bear Park there was a corporator store, there was a theatre shop, a fish shop, maybe a couple of little general dealers. And there was always a store that would get broken into. And the policeman, the local body, he would be sitting in the bloke's house before he got back to the loot. You know, it was one of those cases.
Everybody knew everybody else.
Aye. And there were good policemen in those days. I know I got caught with my pockets full of apples, being really annoyed with the lads. And this is right, don't sit down there. And he made us eat them all in our pockets. And then he says, go home, tell your mother what we've got done.
Do you remember his name?
Conford? And he always said, wait, when my father worked in the vineyard, when the constant, you know, they used to be night time, they would go and sit, because in fact there was a big cabin, you know, a roaring fire, they would always go and they used to sit and talk and that, you know, and talk different things. And he said to me, Dad, he said, I'll never charge a lad or a lass for anything. Unless it's really serious. Because he says, in later life, if that youngster wants to go into the police force or go anywhere, if he's got a record, it'll go against him. But he says, if I can clip him over the hole, or do something like that. This is obviously for serious that I've got to. So I think that's why he didn't have as many kids up in the courts in them days.
Was there much crime around in that time?
Well, you know, you see, really. The turnip and bone, you know, on the odd store getting knocked off, but nobody had any cars.
What was discipline like in general as a child? At home and.
Yeah, you had a fixed bedtime. You respected your parents, you respected your elders. You were shit scared, you saw a policeman coming down. You didn't want to do attention, yes or no, so you know. You only had a mess in the body, of course, that was it. The people who were in the village were looked up to, I say looked up to, obviously it was the policeman, the vicar, or the priest, the headmaster, and if there was a teacher in the village. They were the people who people in the village would go to help, the doctor as well, like, let's get a doctor. If they had any queer forms to fill in, you know, I mean, there wasn't the social security forms that they had now, but if, you know, if somebody died or anything like that, and they would go and ask advice and they would get help. Every village had its, I don't know what you call it, it wasn't a midwife. There was a woman who would go and lay bodies out. You know, if somebody died, you'd go, oh, go and get Lizzie. And they would come down and they would wash the body.
And was this an occupation?
No, it was just something that they did. They weren't, didn't get paid for it. It was just something. I know when my father died, this woman came in, you know, and sat.
It was just him. Somebody from the village who everybody called in when somebody died.
She came and she said, not professional mourners, unlike that, you know, came and sat with me, well, and sat with us, you know, and she said, and she says, don't forget, Alan, she says, the doctor and the nurse said, well, he'll go between now and in the morning, you know, he had cancer and that. And she says to us, don't forget to put his teeth in, because they had false teeth. Because she says, they look awful if they haven't got the teeth in, you know, so, of course, when he pops out, I says to me, well, where's his teeth? And she says, oh, I'll go and get them, or somewhere. So, oh, I said, oh, okay, in the bathroom, I went and got his teeth, and I pushed them in. And then she says, he's going to shoot with the ribbon around, you know, because if they're, I don't know, they open, they just lock jaws, that, you know, bring them horses or something. And so there he is, tied up, you know, his jaw clamped up. And then my mother says she couldn't find her teeth. I thought, oh God, I put my mother's teeth in the bottom. Anyway, I hadn't. But, and then they got this woman, she came in and she washed him and put his best nightshirt on. And then, you know, of course, the end days used to stay at home, you know.
They didn't take them to a chapel of rest. Nothing like that.
There wasn't one. They used to lay them out at home, and the curtains were drawn until after the funeral. And
so, how old were you when your father died?
Come on, because I can't hear you. I was working at concert. You know, I couldn't hazard a guess. You know, in fact, I couldn't tell you what day he died. It might be an awful thing to say, but I know he's buried at Bear Park. I've never been to his grave, I've never been to my mother's grave. It's just one of those things. I don't believe in going and moping, and people still think of them and that, and, you know, respect them without all this show, you know. But I couldn't tell the dates when they died, though, right now. My father died first, my mother died second.
Had this ritual of this lady from the village.
On the same lines, they would have another one who would be good at giving birth to Ben's.
Again, not a professional midwife, someone from the village.
A woman that was in labour and like that, and if the nurse couldn't get there, they'd say, we'll get so, you know, and they would come and. Maybe they'd had big families themselves and they knew exactly what was happening. And you know, oh, I'm gonna get so.
This is all part of the community pulling together.
Nice village life. It was true, no doors were locked in those days. I mean, okay, they were shut, but they were never locked, you know. And there was always somebody wandering around the village because then somehow, I don't know why. The mines always had funny times for starting shifts and finishing shifts. No, the normal shifts are what, 6 to 2, 2 to 10, 10 to 6, or 7 to 3 or something. They go to work at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Those are the kind of shifts that your father worked?
Aye. And when we were in school at Bear Park, we used to have a good idea of the time by that a lot of men obviously wore the hobnail boots, and a lot of men went to work with a stick. They weren't bent double, I don't know. Then you could hear them walking on and say, oh, my dad won't work, it must be about 1:30. You know, during the day, you know, say, oh, your dad was starting work at 10 o'clock or whatever, and you would hear all the click plop of the boots and that going on, of the shift going down to the mine, and you had an idea of the time. Even if there wasn't a clock in the school, you had an idea of the time. And then the colliery used to blow a buzzer, they had a buzzer, used to blow at certain times, and you could set the clock by it.
And what was that, end of shift?
Aye, it's to correspond with the shifts and things like that. Used to blow the buzzer, you know. But you see, everybody in the village, nearly everybody worked at the mine. And so...
It would be the main employer in the village.
It wasn't the only employer, you know, apart from the store. Well, it doesn't at the most, you know. The stores were big in those days, you know. I mean, Bear Park had a great grocery. They had a butcher. They had haberdashery. The food. And they had carts, horse-drawn carts used to go around the village, you know, delivering that. And then there was another thing, was it? I think it was Bluffs. They had a fellow who used to come around, and I remember he had a big long list, and he used to come see what come on a Monday, and he would say, what do you want? He'd say, flour, and take it all off, and then it used to be delivered on the Friday with your list, and then you'd pay it once a fortnight or something like that.
Was there much tick in them days?
There was tick. There was one Friday was known as Pay Friday, and another Friday was Pay Friday when you paid all your bills, I suppose. I think there's a lot of tick. I just know there was a lot of tick, but it was always, I would say, a clean up at the end of the week or the end of the month, you know. I don't think there was any bad debtors, is what that language is. We were looking, we had some hot water, but in the colony houses, there was no laid on sort of hot water, it was just cold water. And the fire, everybody had big fires, because they all worked for 50, got a coal for nothing. And the fire was in the center, and I think it was on the right hand side, there was the oven, the coal oven, and on the other side was like a set pot, big set pot, and you used to put water in there. That's where you got your hot water from.
Was yours a colliery house?
No, I lived in the bungalow going to Bear Park. We had a galvanised bath. They used to bring a bath in and bath in front of the fire. And then all the galvanised baths were hanging up in the yard. And
that would be for the men coming off shift?
Aye, yeah.
From the pit?
Aye. And I mean, there was no... In my younger days, there was no pit head baths. There was nothing, there was no canteen. I remember during the war, when they built the canteens, because sometimes my father used to bring, and it was on a Friday, fish and chips. He would go and get fish and chips and wrap them up and bring them home for us. You know, it was a means of supplementing the canteen's got food. And instead of eating his fish and chips there, he would bring them home and share them with it at home.
You mentioned school at Bear Park. What were your early recollections of your school life?
School work or?
School, well, both. School work.
Well, I had to learn how to table. I had to learn how to spell.
Was it a sort of regimental, disciplined way of learning how to read and
write? There were a whole class of one, school of two, of four. The whole lot, up the 12 times table. And your spelling, you used to have to learn so many spellings a day. Once again, it was strict. If you wanted to leave the room, you had to put your hand up and ask permission, and you had to have a good reason why you wanted to go. We used to get school milk then, at playtime. In the winter, it was frozen solid, and you used to try and put it on the pipes and get it thawed out. And the milk was, that like milk tops in the top, you just press the little centre and put the straw down. And then when you finish, you just flick the things around.
Is this a large school or just a small village school?
Small village school. You went there till you were... Well, if you were brainy or something, you'd manage to get through to Dylan Johnson. If not, you just stayed at the village school and you just went to Piff, down the corridor when you were 14, something like that. I mean, there was more. In those days, it was, if you lived in the mining village, your father would say, well, it's a last resort down the pit. I'll get you a job anywhere else, but as a last resort, you can go down the pit. You know? Now, when I worked up the concert later on in life, it was the same up there was, well, I'll get you a job anywhere, but if not, I'll get you a job at the company. You know, they were the fallback places. I said, well, down the shipyards, it was a case of, I'll get you anywhere I can, but you can always fall back at the shipyard.